Good evening. The meeting is called to order. Welcome to the special meeting, Capistrano Unified School District Board of Trustees, April 2nd, 2009. I call the meeting to order. Mr. Winston, can you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Board consideration and adoption of the agenda. Do we have a motion? And a second? I'll second it. Roll call. Ms. Bowes.
President Adonisio.
Here.
Trustee Winston.
Here.
Trustee Christensen.
Here.
Trustee Brick.
Here.
Trustee Bryson.
Here.
Trustee Maddox. Trustee Palazzo.
Here. Reporting out from closed session, we had discussion. No action was taken in closed session. So we move now on to our open session. Mr. Lebs.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. We are here this evening for our sixth budget study session. And Corey, I'm going to have you go ahead and bring that down. Thank you. While that's coming down, I'll get started. It is with a great deal of hesitation and reservation that we do bring this recommendation to you this evening. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the difficult task that is in front of the board. Staff has wrestled with this, and so we understand the challenge that's ahead of us as a school district, not only for the board, but for the staff and the teachers and the people that are affected by the recommendations that are being reviewed this evening. There are a number of items that were included in your backup packet and posted online. I was not going to take the time to review those unless there were specific questions, but what I did want to do was go through the sheet that we reviewed at the last meeting and highlight the changes that had been made since we last met, which would include input and direction received from the budget subcommittee that met twice over the last 2 weeks. As stated in the backup, it would be the desire, I know, of staff as well as the board, that we could somehow navigate through this without any layoffs or salary reductions or possibility of impacting anybody's wallet or pocketbook or job or livelihood. However, the magnitude of this budget crisis is such that there is basically no way through this without impacting the pocketbooks of the people that work in the district. To that end, staff prepared, at the request of the board, two plans, a Plan A and a Plan B. We've been discussing Plan B over the last couple of weeks as we've refined a number of the costs associated with programs. Plan A would be a way to possibly cover the necessary cuts, which would be some sort of reduction in salary and benefits across the board. Plan B, which is what we have up on the screen and the same that we reviewed last time, attacks that on a program-by-program basis in absence of a negotiated settlement with the bargaining units. These cuts are made up of a variety of different sources of funds. We're taking advantage to the best of our ability of the categorical flexibility that's been allowed by the state, as well as direct cuts to programs, some elimination of positions, some transfers of funds that could help cover some of this, as well as looking at the way we staff for enrollment, et cetera. So what I thought I would do is simply walk through this and indicate the changes that had been made since the last meeting, and if there were specific questions from the board, I would be happy to entertain those. Before I begin, just as a reminder that anytime we talk about budget or present information or facts, it's really a snapshot of the time that we're in right now. So this is a snapshot of this week. If we did this in 2 weeks, it would change. The numbers would change because as you go back in and you look at things, more expenses have been incurred. If we did this after the May revise, I'm sure we would have additional information from the state. One of our challenges on a consistent basis is to try to target and figure out when our money's coming from the federal government. And so, like I say, it's really a snapshot. We're using estimates. You'll notice that things are rounded to the nearest thousands of dollars. We will continue to revise. We will continue to look at this over the next several weeks as we go through the final stage of our budget development. We are also in the midst of the categorical program review, as I mentioned before. We have our consultant coming back again the 15th and the 16th of April. I think that it will yield a worthwhile result out of that effort in enabling us to take a look at our categorical dollars and maximizing them and charging off expenses to those so that we can reduce even more impact into the general fund. So with that, I will get rolling. The changes that have been made, I've highlighted in green, and hopefully those are big enough on the screen that most everyone can see them. The first change we did is we adjusted up our enrollment projection of 10 students, and I would just like to remind the board and the audience that originally we had estimated approximately growth of somewhere between 175 and 200, and we kind of, for lack of a better term, discounted that down to be extra conservative and safe. So we were down to 125 and thought, okay, well, we'll bump it up a little bit. I talked again with Madeline, who does our enrollment projections, and she feels very comfortable with that it's a conservative number. So that brought that up a little bit. There's an offsetting cost of hiring the teachers that relate to that, so that's what that blue line does, is it ties that in. The next line is within the Business and Support Services Division. This reflects staffing reductions, streamlining, and some reorganization within that division of approximately 13 positions. Some of those are open. Some of those are vacant. Some of those relate to management as well as classified staff. And as we refine those, we have an idea what they are. But as we get that put together, then we will bring that information back to the board in our reorganization concept with our org charts, etc. But for now, we have plugged that in, and we'll continue to look at that over the next couple of weeks. So those numbers did go up. The next section, next green section, is in the education division, and what we did is we quantified the changes that we're recommending making there. Same thing, these relate to positions that are open that will remain unfilled, as well as staffing reductions that those recommendations will be coming forward later. So those numbers were solidified, and I believe those went up a little bit from what we talked about last week. For example, in the box I just highlighted, there is... My cells didn't wrap text well. We've indicated the areas where there's teachers on special assignment that are affected by that particular program reduction, and so those numbers are included in the blue lettering. The next line, the box is green next to the BITSA teacher credentialing block grant. And the reason for that is I had to reduce that because the BITSA teachers that related to that are down in the line for personnel services. So I simply reduced it there and increased it down below, and where I'll talk about in a minute. But what I wanted to do is highlight each area where a change had been made. This is the line and the box down here where that change had been reflected. So this number went up. We're projecting eliminating 4.4 FTE. 2.9 of that would be TOSAs funded through the BITSA program. That's within personnel and insurance department. And then this next section is the result of the work that we did within the budget subcommittee that met twice since our last board meeting. And let's see if I can scroll that up. I think that gets most all of it. And I'll walk through these. What we're recommending is adding to the list of items to be cut the Handwriting Without Tears program. That would add $102,000. There's an open position within the Special Education Division. We can capture that opening of approximately $114,000. We're recommending the restoration of the Block Music program, so that would come off of the cut list and remain intact. one of the things we took a look at was the increasing of class size in grades 4 through 12. And we had recommended originally that be increasing class size by 1, and felt that a good compromise would be to look at increasing class size by 0.5, and as an offset to look at our staffing methodology, and instead of staffing off of ADA, to staff off of enrollment, which when you look at the two in terms of impact to the classroom, they almost offset one another. However, there is a salary savings that could be realized there. The next line, line 89 up on the board, line 5, restore AVID program, we placed that, took that off the list, so that's been placed back in. That was at the request of, I believe, Trustee Adonizio. The next line is, I believe at the last board meeting, the board suspended the policy related to employee awards. This takes that into consideration, as well as moving a number of our publications from print to online. I was talking with Julie Hatchell just today, and she thinks that we can meet that number, and Greg Nestor in our print shop is continuing to take a look at items that we can move to online, such as the enrollment package information, as well as some forms, etc. We do a lot of printing, and we think we could save some money there. So that's a solid number we believe we can meet. The next line is taking advantage of additional categorical flexibility with the elimination of the after-school supplementary hour program for an amount of about $1.1 million. The next item relates to the CalSafe program, and we are not recommending the elimination of the CalSafe funding, but as we work through this categorical rebuild, we believe that there will be funding sources that we can tap that would cover the cost of this. They also have a balance that will carry them for approximately a year and a half to 2 years, and so we think with that balance that they have, and with the categorical flexibility that we can put together for this, that we can capture that funding and you backfill it with other funding that we couldn't normally do or couldn't move into the general fund like we can with this. Let me bring this up. The next line would be eliminate the district level support of our Connect Ed program. Sites could continue to use that program. That's our auto, for lack of a better term, it's our auto dialer system. Sites could fund that at their local level if they felt that was absolutely necessary. But from the district level, we recommend eliminating it. The next line would be reducing the amount of resident substitutes, and I believe those are all at our high schools. And the reason there isn't a direct correlation between the 5.4 FTE and the 80,000 is it ties into the, if we lay teachers off, we have to hire them back, and they're hired back at a slightly higher rate than what a normal substitute teacher would get. So there isn't a direct offset, but we believe we can reduce from 10.8 to 4.6 and capture about $80,000. The next line is a reduction of substitutes for clerical help at secondary education offices, as well as a reduction of classified substitutes for custodial maintenance and grounds. So we reduced those by 50% of what was in the budget this year. And then the final line item is special education transportation that we pay for through the County Office of Ed for some specialized services. They have rebid their transportation, yielding a savings of about $50,000 that we can count. So when you add all of those up and put them together, we needed to find $25 million, and in the box I highlighted there, we found $24,800,000 approximately. Keeping in mind that we had started really with $800,000 in the hole, as we talked about last time, because we were trying to calculate the worst case scenario of the state budget, the additional deficit related to the state's $8 billion shortfall that the legislative analyst was predicting. So really, with that amount remaining of $213,000, we have met the requirements of the Department of Ed, because they weren't asking us to count for that $800,000. In addition, as we comb through this and go through it over the next week or two and refine things, some of these numbers will go up, some of these numbers will go down. We could continue to find some additional things that could go on there. And so with this amount that we've reached, I'm confident that we're close enough that we can call it there. And with that, I will turn it back over to the board for discussion and questions.
Thank you. We do have some blue cards. We have many blue cards, so we're taking 1 minute each on the blue cards. If you would just come forward and speak at the podium here. Mr. Mark Steyer, followed by Shannon Steyer and Sheila Morrissey.
Oh, and I'm sorry, can you clarify how much time?
1 minute.
1 minute,
timer.
All right, thank you, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and trying to soak in some of the new information I've got and work the numbers. In short, you know, like many folks here, we've got concerned teachers, concerned parents. I'm a parent, got two daughters in second grade. We've been getting an outstanding education with them at Vista Del Mar. We don't want to see that change in any way. And I'm a little struggling. I've heard different numbers with class size, what the impact may be. The concern I have really can be expressed in one way. We've all got a challenge here. The numbers have to work out towards the kids' favor. That's a challenge we have before us. There's a tough economic times. We all have to deal with that. It sounds like a lot of good thinking going on, so I'm kind of absorbing that. But at the end of the day, when we've got classroom increase in sizes, when we're looking at things like removing TLC programs that are very helpful, I'm just imploring you, let's put the children first. Let's look at everything we can to keep the classroom sizes down, to keep these programs that have been working so well intact. Thank you.
Thank you. Shannon Steyer.
Thank you for your consideration. That was my husband, Mark Steyer. I am the mother of twins. I have a unique situation in that my twins born at the same moment have very, very different learning abilities. Kendall's dog is with me. She is Kendall's aide at home. At school, Kendall uses an independent facilitator. Her name is Mrs. H. I volunteer, and I have volunteered at Vista Del Mar there in second grade. This is my third year as a volunteer, so I feel that I'm in the trenches, and I see how the teachers are working with our students each day. Because I have twins, I have a spectrum of learning with my twins, and those needs are being met at 20-1. I have a huge concern. I stand before you with other parents concerned at a 30-1 ratio. The kids that fall in and outside the spectrum of norm are going to be left behind. That includes both my daughters. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheila Morrissey, followed by Susan Hama and Kim Price.
Hi, I'm Sheila Morrissey. My son, Kevin, is a senior at Capistrano, so it really doesn't matter if personally for Kevin what happens tonight, but I know Kevin wants a legacy. And I ask you all to please look past all of the well-documented research about the importance of music education in the development of young minds and look right into the faces of many of our young people here in sunny Southern Orange County. Despite what we'd like to believe and what they'd like to portray to the outside world, some of our kids are growing up in less than ideal homes. There may be unemployment, divorce, substance abuse, or worse. And for whatever reason, kids are searching for their place, a little place to figure out how to grow up and how to survive. And for many of these great kids, music is the anchor that keeps them on solid ground. Through the peer pressure, the parent pressure, the testing pressures, they can find shelter? No. They thrive in the discipline, structure, and creativity of music education. It isn't recreation. It isn't just fun or cool. Music gives them wings, and they can soar. So let's lift them up. Let's keep music education in our schools, and all the grades will feel better, and we will all soar.
Thank you. Susan Hama, followed by Kim Price and Monica Young.
Good evening. A little difficult to present my budget that I have distributed for everybody in the audience as well as for the board members. It's an alternative budget, Plan C. As parents, we will accept the budget cuts as long as we are convinced that the district has done everything in its power to reduce all the fat at the top. I'm a concerned parent. I'm a volunteer. I have children. I'm educated. I have ideas. That's why we're here tonight to present this budget. We sat down, grassroots, spent 40 hours doing this budget. Is it perfect? No, but it has some new ideas. I want to just offer the two main ones just because I'm on a time crunch. I was hoping for the 3 minutes. That's interesting. A while ago, 3 minutes was torture for me. The two biggest things I'm looking at is it is absolutely preposterous to think that we would spend $6 million in order to get rid of class size reduction to save $8 million. It's a 30% penalty to get rid of class size reduction. We will be spending $6 million in penalties. That is not in the best interest of our children. Second, 15 days of closing the building in the summer is $2.1 million. And lastly, $7.2 million will be saved for 5 days of furlough for every USC employee. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim Price, followed by Monica Young and Kathy Boone.
I'm here in support of saving CSR in our school district. I have for you an excerpt from a class size reduction study in grades K through 3 by Jeremy D. Finn from the State University of New York at Buffalo. In every grade level, K through 3, students in small classes outperformed students in larger classes on every achievement test administered in all subject areas and on both norm-referenced and criterion-referenced achievement tests. Pupils who attended small classes in K through 3 performed significantly better in all academic subjects in all subsequent grades. Pupils who attended small classes in K through 3 were more likely to graduate from high school and more likely to take the SAT college admission tests. Furthermore, the study revealed an obvious additional strength supporting class size reduction. Teacher morale is increased, teachers spend more time teaching instead of classroom management, fewer disruptions, and I can't understand why the district would allow to cut it. If you cut it, then keep the GED program because you're going to need it.
Thank you. Monica Young, followed by Kathy Boone and Heidi Reiser.
A little taller. What an honor and a privilege it is to be able to express my views concerning class size reduction tonight. I am the mother of first grade twins at Riley and a former first and second grade teacher with the Saddleback District. I can tell you firsthand that class size reduction promotes the best possible educational outcome for our students. Teachers have the time and energy to know their students and meet their individual needs. We cannot underestimate the importance and value of that teacher-student relationship. The elimination of CSR changes the focus of the classroom environment from productive learning to managing the behavior of so many children. It breaks my heart to know that without class size reduction, children will be underserved and our awesome teachers will become less effective as they will be spending so much time solving conflicts in class. We are all here to fight for our children, and I thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Kathy Boone, followed by Heidi Reiser and Judy Collier.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity to speak. There was an article entitled A Head with a Heart, and it's about Paul Levy, who is the CEO of Beth Israel Hospital in Boston. And this man went to great lengths to save jobs for everybody at Beth Israel. Everyone agreed to take salary cuts and to take less vacation time and give up days of work in order to save everyone's jobs. And I think that it's something that should be considered for the sake of our children in Capo Unified School District. Eliminating CSR is not going to help them. It's not going to help their future, and they are our future, and I really look to you to please protect that, and I will be happy to give you a copy of this article for you to look at to maybe give you some ideas that will save jobs and help our children. Thank you.
Thank you. Heidi Reiser, followed by Julie Collier and Julie Muller.
Hi. I'm sorry I missed the last meeting, but I was at a concert, and I'm here to speak to music again. And I'm thrilled to see that somewhere in the budget it is being considered for reinstatement, so I'm thrilled to see that. Since I last saw you guys, I've gone to an honor band concert. I've also attended an area concert for the Lisa Nagel family, and it was a thrill for me, and I also had the opportunity to talk to every parent and kid in the room. Overwhelming response. They really want to save this program. They're acutely aware of how it impacts their kids and that it is in danger of being cut. And then this week, thrill of all thrills, I got to go with over 200 DGM's kids. I accompanied the orchestra students on Monday and the band students on Tuesday. And it was so much fun, and I'm not just talking about the bus ride. These kids were amazing. They performed. They were so composed. And I talked to other parents there and saw their bands. It is clear that rock music builds our music program in this district, and I hope you continue to save it.
Thank you. Ms. Collier, followed by Julie Muller and Robin Hervey.
I support smaller class sizes for all grades. If class sizes are increased, it will eventually cost the district more money to pay for services to students left behind in larger classes. The fact that the district is suggesting keeping CSR at a select few schools is irresponsible and discriminatory. This district has an obligation to service all students in every community. If there's not enough money to reconstruct schools to expand classrooms, then why did this district hire a director of construction just a few months ago? The budget cuts presented are still too shallow. I was shocked last week when district administration defended a costly program like handwriting without tears. Clearly, you're not willing to make deeper cuts that will not affect teachers and students. Cut BITSA and mentoring for principals, furlough days at the district, earn revenue by selling the district sedans. You can save money on maintenance, insurance, fast track, and gas. This budget does not add up because it is balanced on the backs of our amazing teachers and at the expense of our children whose futures rely on your decisions.
Julie Muller, followed by Robin Hervey and Kim Graff.
I understand. Thank you. I understand we are facing challenging fiscal times. I would like to urge you to retain CSR in our primary grades. The positive benefits to having smaller classes are well documented and critical to our children's educational success. We do not want larger classes because teachers are less able to serve the needs of the children. An increase in noise and distraction will negatively affect learning. There is less time focused on each child. The primary grades are the foundation of their education. In K through 3, students are learning to read, so later in the later years, they can read to learn. I believe this is one of the most crucial items facing us today. I urge you to retain CSR in the primary grades. Thank you.
Robin Hervey, followed by Kim Graff and Vita Cantachese.
President Anizia and members of the board, my name is Robin Hervey, and on behalf of all the music teachers, I would like to express our thanks and appreciation for your patience in listening to the information that we've shared throughout the budget workshop process. We acknowledge the extremely troubled times that our country, state, and district find itself in, and difficult decisions await us all. It is important to realize we will survive these times. We will move through them with hope and gratitude and our most valuable resource, the students of CUSD. Thank you for understanding that music education is a core subject, as outlined in the federal No Child Left Behind Act. Thank you for understanding that it is not a frill or an extracurricular activity, and it must be taught to all students in all grades in a sequential program by qualified teachers. And thank you for funding this as all other core academic subjects. On behalf of the students of CUSD, thank you for providing music's effect on their lives and learning.
Thank you. Ms. Graff, followed by Terry House.
Thank you. I'm a parent from San Clemente, Kim Graff. In the next few weeks, the board will have to vote to cut programs favored by many parents, teachers, and staff members. CUSD faces expenses that are too large for the revenue the district has, and this is what I want to address, the revenue side of the budget equation. Since moving to Orange County in 2005 from a California basic aid school district, I've seen CUSD face budget crisis after budget crisis. Fact. CUSD receives less than the state average in per pupil funding. Now, I'm going to say what is sometimes considered a bad word. tax, specifically parcel tax. I strongly encourage you to take leadership in endorsing a parcel tax so that CUSD will eventually be free from state budget swings and funding inequities. I'm proposing a $1 a day parcel tax, an expense many in the district can afford. Without investing in the education of all children, our country will not be able to compete on a state, national, or global scale. Remember, tax is not a four-letter word. Thank you.
Ms. Cantachese, followed by Manal Kerfoot and Todd Horton.
Okay, thank you. I had a few notes here in my mind, but after I got this Plan C, it's pretty much a pretty good idea. You need to look at it, especially the BITSA part. When you have no new teachers, you don't need that program at all. I'd like to say, if you're going to have to cut CSR, which I hope to God you don't, then start with third grade only, because that is what the state will allow you to do without jeopardizing any funds for first and second grade. And it's really, it's just horrible to me to think that some classes in this district will have 25-1 and everybody else 31-1. Where do you think that you're so unfair and unjust to some of these kids just because it's going to cost more to fix those buildings or to move them around? They are going to be at a disadvantage, and they won't even be competitive within their own district, let alone other districts. And you need to be realizing of all the exit exams they're going to take in high school and all the testing every year, they need class size reductions, and you need to do everything you can to save it. Look at this. It's excellent.
Thank you. Ms. Kerfoot, followed by Todd Horton and April Stone.
Good evening. My name is Manal Kerfoot, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to express my concerns about the upcoming budget issues as it relates to class size reduction. As the parent of Matthew Kerfoot, a fifth grader, Joseph Kerfoot, a fourth grader, Adam Kerfoot, a second grader, and Mariana Kerfoot, a pre-K student at Riley Elementary in CUSD, and as a very concerned and active member of PTA, I firmly believe that CSR is critical to the success of our children and our educational system. I urge you to continue CSR for the classrooms in our district. Amidst severe financial challenges, we must put those things that directly affect our children first. CSR tops the list as the most important issue. It directly affects the daily interactions between teacher and student, and hence the ability of our children to learn. It has been shown to be most crucial in grades 1 through 3, when children are still learning the very basics, the foundation of everything that they need to know. They're still learning how to read.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
Sir. Ma'am, did I miss you? What is your name?
Terry Haas.
I thought I called you. Would you speak, please? Thank you. I put your card past.
My name is Terry Haas. I'm a classified employee. My frustration with the board increases with every meeting. Reality is, after 17 years of dedicated money-making service, I make under $50,000 a year on a single-parent income. Reality is, 6 years ago, my daughter was hit by an 18-wheeled back truck. She suffers from traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, survivor's guilt, bipolar tendency, depression, hearing loss. Since 2003, I have paid on the average of $3,000 a year in co-pays. As I stand here tonight, my daughter has been hospitalized for the last 18 years with last 18 days without a release date in sight. I need and use all of my benefits. Mr. Winston, if I were to revert back to 2006 salary, as you callously threw out there last meeting, I would make $38,000 a year. I find it personally insulting that you continue to mislead the public that the budget crisis can be balanced with negotiations from our union.
Thank
Furthermore,
you.
Having the board remove from the table their own special interest is subjective, biased, and unjust.
Thank you. Mr. Horton, followed by April Stone and Nicole Melissa.
Hi, my name is Todd Horton. I'm a teacher of a kindergartner and a third grader in CUSD. I'm also a fifth grade teacher at Vista Del Mar. As a fifth grade teacher and as a parent, I see the foundation, the strong foundation being built by class size reduction in both my own children and my students in fifth grade. If we are developing citizens to help lead our country in the future, they need that foundation given to them in smaller class sizes. All of the teachers I work with, I know, got into teaching because they wanted to make a difference in the world. And I think it's unfair and, quite frankly, disgusting how teachers have been vilified in the press, being made to look like we're out to get a fat taxpayer-funded paycheck, when we are. Nobody's asked us. We are willing to make sacrifices. We see that sacrifices must be made to save things like class size reduction for the best interest of our students. Thank you.
Thank you. April Stone, followed by Nicole Melissa and John Melissa.
Hi, I'm here tonight to address how increasing class sizes is going to dramatically impact.
Excuse me. Please be seated. Is there some in the back who cannot see? Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Please continue.
That's okay. Hi. I'm here tonight to address how increasing class sizes is going to dramatically impact the learning of every single child. If class size increases, children with special needs that are mainstreamed will suffer as well as their peers. Currently, we as teachers are able to give our special needs students all of the support that they need to thrive. We not only promote daily academic success, we also strengthen crucial social skills in an environment that builds lifelong skills as they become young adults. But our problem really doesn't end here. We need to consider the rest of the kids in the class. What's going to happen to our youngest students when their teachers simply do not have time or resources to help them with learning the basic fundamentals for the rest of their education? Teachers will be stretched too thin, parents will become frustrated with witnessing this imbalance, and the core of it all, our students will not receive what they each deserve. We can't ignore this impact that it's going to have. As a teacher myself, I feel that losing small class sizes in the primary grades will allow more children to slip through the cracks unnoticed. We can't afford to wait until this is too late.
Thank you. Nicole Melissa, followed by John Melissa and Gretchen Mars.
Good evening. First of all, I very much appreciate your productive restructuring of the budget that you've already done and restoring block music. I'm here to reinforce that decision by sharing some of my feelings about music in a positive way. We all know that music benefits children's intelligence in many ways, but sometimes we forget the other valuable qualities that only music can bring to all of our lives. Music brings with it an exploration of passion, a medium of expression, a carry-all for the feelings attached with historical events, a communication of love and belief, a rhythmic assurance, a common language connecting all creatures, birds and humans alike, a way to tell a story, a joyful experience, a showcase of talents, abilities, and skills, and an ethereal celebratory realm. No other subject in school possesses half these essential qualities, not science, mathematics, English, or even other arts. We can tolerate some of the increase or the cuts that you've already made on the proposed budget, but I strongly hope that we can work with the important needs of everyone and still leave music untouched.
Thank you. John Melissa, followed by Gretchen Mars. Ms. Mars?
I'm coming to you as a parent and a former teacher, and I'm asking you to put children first at all costs. CSR is critical for children to get the best education available from CUSD's amazing teachers, many of whom will no longer get to touch the lives of our children. The primary grades are where students build the solid foundation that will give them success throughout their educational careers. This success will be greatly impacted if CSR is cut. When we went from full-size classes to 20-to-1 in 1997, I could not believe the difference when I went from 32 kids to 20. I knew every child. I was able to meet their needs in a way I had never been able to do before. I was a good teacher, but when we went to 20-to-1, I became a great teacher. You must prioritize the areas that directly affect the classroom and our children's education. Please do not cut CSR. I also favor saving block music. It is so important for our kids. Fourth and fifth graders are not going to go on to middle school, and not as many of them will participate if they don't get that start in fourth and fifth grade. Please save music and CSR.
Thank you.
Mina Javaherbin, I hate to do that, followed by Gina Werner, Stacy Ruette, and Ms. Ann Farris.
Hi. Thank you for letting me talk. I want to talk about also class size reduction, and I just want to one more time show this Plan C. Please read it. Please consider it. It's really something they worked hard. We worked hard on it, and want to endorse it over and over again. One important thing that I want to say is that I'm so amazed after living in America for 30 years that we're such a great democracy. This is our schools. We want smaller class sizes. Am I living in America? 30 kids per class? No music? Am I in America or a third world country? No. I am wanting to live here. I risked my life to get to this country. I risked my life to become an American. I'm proud to be American. And I want to stay proud. And I want to hold my head up and I say, this is America. We rule our country. Okay, we made a mistake. We voted for an actor. But now, we
Thank you.
We have to make up for what we did.
Thank you. Gina Werner, followed by Stacy Ruette and Ann Farris.
Hi, thank you for letting me speak. I have a third grader and a kindergartner, and I'm reading a letter from a friend who can't make it to the meeting. As a parent of a fourth grader, second grader, and upcoming kindergartner, I believe CSR is critical to the success of our children and our educational system. I urge you to continue CSR for the classrooms in our district. While our district faces severe financial challenges, we must prioritize the things that directly affect our children, and CSR is the number one issue in that category. Please show your commitment to our children by making the retention of CSR your number one priority in this budget season. Furthermore, I am urging you to continue the music programs in 4th through 12th grades. Such programs allow access to the beautiful world of music to students who normally wouldn't be exposed to musical opportunities. In addition to academics, providing opportunities to participate in athletics and music are two areas in children's lives we should consider worthy of encouragement and proper nurturing. I sincerely encourage you to keep those programs alive. Thank you.
Ms. Ruette?
I've been a primary teacher for 21 years, so I've had the experience of teaching 30 to 1 and 20 to 1, and tonight I'm here to talk about quality education. We now have the state standards and testing scores that place high accountability on our students and teachers. We have the Leave No Teacher Behind Act that is not disappearing with our diminishing budget and lack of state support. And we have a large increase of designated special education students being mainstreamed into our classrooms. Remember that class size reduction was put into place as a major resource for students and teachers in public education. It was put into place to allow educators a greater ability to offer a more quality education to our students in their formative years. And it has been proven successful. CSR has given our teachers the ability to provide the stronger foundation our students now require to become successful as they continue their education. Research shows that a far greater number of students are graduating with higher GPAs and attending accredited colleges and universities since the very first year CSR is put into place.
Thank you.
How can we take that away?
Thank you. Ms. Farris?
I'm a teacher and parent whose children will be affected by this budget crisis. My daughter's been able to excel in a first grade class, compliments of a great teacher, and the 20-to-1 ratio. As this board makes decisions that will affect all the children in our district, please consider the following. CSR funding has not been eliminated by the state. However, after several layoffs, we can assume it's going to rise. My children and the children of so many others in CUSD will not have the benefits of smaller class sizes, yet there are children at low-performing schools who will. QEA
TIA and Title I schools in our very district will not be negatively influenced. With millions of dollars spent each year on these schools, CSR is made a requirement. The professionals making these decisions realize the powerful and beneficial impact CSR has on the learning environment. It is important and worth saving. Is it fair that the rest of the children in CAPO are not afforded the same luxuries? All students in CUSD are entitled to the same educational environment, regardless of test scores or social status. As a concerned parent, I need to know the board is looking out for the interests of my children. I'd like someone to explain to my kids how their education is any less important or valued than that of another student in our same district.
Thank you. Includes the blue cards. So any questions, comments by the board members? Trustee Bryson.
Mr. Levs, Ron, can you address one comment made by the lady about the $6 million, we would lose $6 million, or I believe you addressed that the other day. Can you go over that concerning the CSR?
Well, it's a little bit of financial gymnastics. I'll try to go through it. The statement that class size reduction program is intact is correct. The program remains intact. As you float up above the 20 to 1, there's a tiered penalty that comes into play on those 20 students that are in that classroom. And the tier maxes out at a 30% penalty on the additional CSR dollar contributed by that student at 25 and above. So if we go from 25 students in a classroom to 31, we take the maximum penalty on the CSR dollars, but we still get all of the ADA revenue for each student, all 31.5. So while we are taking a penalty, we're able to capitalize on the fact that we've put more students in a class and you have less teacher cost. That is the easy way of explaining it. And the reason why the figure is higher this year is because of that tiered penalty situation. Last year when it was considered, there was no tiered penalty, so you would lose all CSR funding.
Madam President, may I ask a follow-up
Yes.
question? On the document we have tonight, it has the 0.5. Can you go into the implications of that in the classroom?
For the grades 4 through 12?
Right. Correct.
You know, I think I'm going to defer that question, if I may, to one of my colleagues, if they can address the additional 0.5 since it's educationally based.
By increasing class sizes in grades 4 through 12 by 0.5, I believe that we first and foremost, we do need to still negotiate that because we have the class size averages and ratios in the teaching contracts. But I believe by doing that, as Mr. Leb said, and then going back to doing our staffing on second month enrollment instead of seventh month, not sure how much of a noticeable difference you'll see in the classroom, but we will still have to negotiate it. And I believe in the board's layoff resolution, I believe there were 31 teachers that received RIF notices by raising class size by one FTE in grades 4 through 12. So if we raised it by half that amount, that would bring back about 15 of those individuals.
Any other comments? Trustee Winston.
To the speakers who spoke, thank you very much. To Ms. House, I'm not picking on you, nor am I being callous. And you have a lot of compassion up here for your situation and a lot of respect for the hard work you're doing for your family. To the parents who got together and worked on Plan C, thank you. I love that. I like the fact that you took a look at it and spent a lot of time and effort to put that together and to present it. In looking at it quickly up here, some of your numbers don't exactly tie to some of the numbers that appear to be coming from Mr. Lebs. So if there's a consensus up here, I'd like to ask Mr. Lebs to maybe take a look at Plan C and let us know which of those numbers appear accurate and which don't, and maybe we can contact Ms. Homa and talk more about some of those numbers and see where she drew them from. Absolutely, we'll, I'm in favor of taking a hard look at that Plan C and ferreting out what we can learn from it.
We actually have incorporated several items from Plan C in the budget.
Yes, I think some of those concepts are already being looked at, but putting them together in that package is worth taking a hard look at, and I would encourage the Budget Subcommittee, if you're meeting shortly, to look at that.
May I address you, Mike, on that one? On
sure.
The furlough days, is that not a negotiated item? So that write-off thing, that
yes.
Is negotiated. So
some of those things are negotiated items. That doesn't mean that they can't be looked at, discussed, and negotiated. So. And I hope that those parents who got together and put their thinking hats on and sat in their thinking chairs to do this won't stop now, because we've got a few weeks to go before we adopt the budget on April 13th. And even when we adopt that budget, I don't think we're done, as I said before, and I think as most of us acknowledge, this is going to be an organic budget that's going to continue to evolve, certainly up until the point we do complete the collective bargaining unit negotiations. So keep thinking, keep communicating. I am strongly in favor of not creating an inequitable distribution of children or resources, especially just due to an accident of architecture 5 or 10 or 15 years ago around the district. So I am hoping we're not going to end up in that situation. It's not easy, and we're going to have to keep looking at these numbers. I don't think the Rubik's Cube is lined up correctly yet in any of these plans, but I think they're a good effort, and I think we need to keep working, thinking, and seeing where we come out on April 13th. I think we can do better than all of these plans. The optimal plan is not yet here, and I want everybody to know and everybody to who has spoke for themselves and others that I think there is, I know there's a sincere attempt by everybody to come up with that optimal budget. And whatever we approve on April 13th to comply with the requirements of the state and the county Department of Education to show that we're going to stay solvent, I know there's going to be a tendency to think that that's it. But I don't believe that that's it, because things are going to change. And we're going to come back and revisit these budget issues after April 13th. So keep in mind that I know Mr. Lebs is shaking his head. He doesn't see a summer. He would like to get a summer vacation, but we're all going to keep working on this. And yes, I know you will be. And we have to be creative. And I called Wendy Benkert at the OCDE on Monday, who's in charge of approving our budget, and found some ideas off of her about how creative can we be and what are the rules that Mr. Lebs has to comply with on behalf of the district. And we're figuring out the latitude, and they're being extremely flexible with us at some risk to their own orderly conduct of their own job. So we're working hard. There's another, the first two speakers. The Myers, is it? Stiers? I'm sorry. I just want to commend you as sort of representing the best that our community has to offer. I was at the cheer dinner last night because my daughter is on the Pipelines that got first place in Las Vegas this weekend, but the Stiers' daughter is on the special needs cheer team, and I saw firsthand what a community wrapping themselves around a family can do for families that have really out of the ordinary situations to confront. And I think that's what we as a school district and community need to do and keep in mind. And my vote is, my preference is that CSR, there's no more important program than we have going. And I kind of see CSR as almost the immune system for our educational system, and it can handle a lot of stressors and threats, and you give those teachers flexibility and they'll figure it out. I've talked with teachers about TLC and how important is it, and everybody says, yeah, it's great if you can do it. They all told me, but we can improvise if we don't have it, if we're at 20 to 1 or some lower ratio. If you take that away from us, we can't improvise. So I think it's really important to do whatever we can to keep that in place and figure out all the rest. Mr. Lebs, there's one question from looking at the information you provided that I don't think we've discussed previously that caught my eye this time around. There's $2 million in an adult ed reserve fund. Is that restricted? What is that reserved for?
We are planning to draw some of that down, and that is included on line, it would be line 22, right above personnel and insurance on your spreadsheet, and we were planning to draw that down about $40,000 per year over the next 5 years.
Okay. That's a lot of money to have sitting around. What is it sitting around for?
It's carryover balance that is within the adult ed program that up until this point has had no flexibility to use outside of the walls of their program, so to speak. The reason we can capture it is because it's included within the flexibility provided by the state, and technically the capturing of the balance is not really feasible, but if we adjust our expenditures, we can use the ending balance to cover ongoing expenditures, and that's what the plan is to use that $2 million to cover expenditures, which will free up your annual revenue to come into the general fund.
So the restrictions on that are legally required?
Correct.
Okay.
If I could just add to that, Mr. Winston,
sure.
The money over the years was being set aside for construction projects for adult ed to expand the facility, so that would be set aside, of course, so that we could draw down the funds for this budget crisis.
Right. But they can't be swept into the general fund like the categoricals.
No, they cannot.
Okay.
So,
Madam Chair.
Excuse me, one last question about adult ed. On Plan C, there's an assertion that if we get rid of adult ed, somehow there's a $2 million savings. Do you know where that comes from?
Yeah, I think that came off the original sheet of the total revenue of the program. That would be abandoning the program completely and totally.
I thought the program is revenue neutral or makes money.
Well, there's two things to consider when we talk about adult ed. There's adult ed and community ed. Community education is operated within the adult ed program, but it's a separate revenue stream. The adult ed revenue comes primarily through the state. So what they're looking at is they've looked at the number that was the annual revenue stream from the adult ed program and capturing all of it, and we're not proposing to eliminate the adult ed program in its entirety. We took a look at streamlining it, restructuring it, and bringing it down to kind of a core.
Okay. In theory.
Yes.
Could we eliminate adult ed? We're not required to do it.
Correct.
I'm saying it's not a great idea to do it, but we're not legally required to do it. And if we did, would we save $2+ million?
That is correct.
Okay. Could we?
For the 5 years. It's 2.1 million for 5 years.
Per year for 5 years?
Right. Well, all of these numbers we've reviewed with you this evening are an annual number per year.
Okay.
And then in 5 years, if the flexibility goes away, then that money's not capturable anymore. That's just like with every other flexibility item on this list.
But if we disband the program, we don't get the money.
That is, in 5 years, that's correct.
Expand on that for me.
You can currently take all of the revenue that's coming for adult ed and sweep it into the general fund.
And not offer the service.
That is correct.
Based on this current aberration in the law that may or may not survive 5 years from now.
That is correct.
Okay, I get that. Is the community ed program tracked or booked or accounted for separately from what you're calling adult ed?
Yes.
And that part is
a moneymaker.
Revenue positive.
That is correct. And we're proposing to take some revenue off of that.
And adult ed is not self-sustaining.
So it's dependent on state revenue. Completely dependent on state
revenue. But it's fee-based, right? A lot of it is.
Not adult ed.
Everything that we charge fees for.
You know what? I'm going to have to defer on this because I'm not the adult ed expert.
Okay.
Madam Chair, may I make a statement about what Ms., our trustee Winston is referring to?
Well, let's just finish this line right here. It pertains to what he's asking.
Adult ed is based on ADA similar to our K-12 programs, and it's capped at somewhat over 800 students. That's the maximum amount of flexibility that we can generate, and we do have to submit attendance reports to the state in order to capture the ADA, the revenue. And so the flexibility is giving us the option to use that money for the next 5 years for general fund purposes. If we eliminated adult ed, we would not be able to offer the basic diploma programs and GED and citizenship courses, among the many other courses that we offer for adult education. Community education is totally fee-based, and that is run under the umbrella of the adult education program.
Could we charge more for the adult ed programs that the state helps us fund?
We can certainly look at that for some of them.
Okay. And just to sort of sum this up, in theory, if we eliminated adult ed, separate and apart from community ed, we'd still get the money, even though we wouldn't be submitting attendance reports for the next 5 years.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Trustee Bryson?
Yes, several things. In the early morning hours when the Budget Committee subcommittee, that would be Sue Palazzo, Jack Brick, and I met with Ron Lebs several times, we discussed with Bev DeNicola in depth everything that you were discussing, including adding, increasing fees across the board. And it was an in-depth presentation and an in-depth look. There's one thing to remember. When you talk about impact on students, if students' parents would like to learn to speak English so that they can help their students with their studies, the students at home who speak English, it is important that these people have the right to learn English. It's important that they have the right to help their children too. And be open-minded, please, I ask you, on behalf of all the parents and all the children who wish to have that kind of knowledge in their home, and the parents who, in a very difficult economic circumstance, want to re-educate or get a GED in order to get a job. This does impact the home, the community, and it does have a rollover effect in the larger community. So when you say totally eliminate, this is something that needs to be weighed very carefully by all the members of the board. It is not something to do casually.
Trustee Brick.
Ask one more.
Trustee Brick, please.
Excuse me.
One last follow-up, if you don't mind, Trustee Brick.
No, go ahead, please.
The suggestion on Plan C that some adult ed could be offered by the cities, I know some cities do that. Is there any opportunity to joint venture adult ed with the cities and reduce the financial impact or share revenue sources with them?
I'm sure there's always opportunity to do that and take a look at it. I'm not that familiar with it. However, in order to have that engaged in a short period of time, as by the beginning of next school year, I think would be a challenge.
I don't disagree. Thank you.
Mr. Brick.
Mr. Labs, could you tell me about the stimulus package and whereabouts we are on that? The last conversation we had, we hadn't received anything yet.
As I have not, I know some information was released recently, day before yesterday, I believe. However, I have not had a chance to dig into that. I've been busy focused on our local issue. I'll be happy to dig into that and provide it at the next meeting. However, I can tell you how we are addressing that is that at this time we are not counting on any of that federal stimulus money. A couple of things you need to keep in mind is it is one-time money, that the revenue stream would only be for a couple of years, and I do not believe it has yet, I may be mistaken, been quantified as to what exactly would flow to our district and when.
Okay. Thank you very much. So you for the next meeting?
I will look into it and have it. I'll get it to the trustees as soon as I have it quantified.
Thank you.
Or when we get a cashier's check. Thank you, Mr. Libs. Any other comments on this item? Thank you all for your comments and suggestions this evening. Thank you, Mr. Lebs, for your presentation. We move on now to item number 2, CUSD/CSEA recommendation of the 08-09 settlement agreement. Do we have a, am I recognizing? It's lovely.
What we have before you tonight, trustees, is the tentative agreement for CSEA for the 08-09 school year, which is essentially to maintain the status quo in the current contract. You'll notice on the terms of the tentative agreement in your exhibit, it does go through June of 2010. And that is so that our employees will realize that they have a settled contract through 2010, because we're going to be negotiating starting in 2009 for those contract reopeners that are listed, which includes wages and other items. But because it is so close to starting the new school year, we agreed as a team that we would not open other items aside from these, although CSEA may come back with one or two more at the next board meeting. So we're recommending the board's approval, and CSEA should have it ratified by the middle of April when we come back from spring break.
Thank you. We do have one speaker available this evening, Ms. Bowie, Leanna Bowie.
Good evening. After listening to everyone tonight, I really don't relish your job. You all have a really tough job. But I'm speaking to you tonight because I'm concerned about the tone of the negotiations. I received a really disturbing email in my work email account this week or last week, accusing our union leaders of trying to get too much money and attacking our teachers. And I wanted to speak with you tonight about that. I understand that this is a difficult time and there's a lot of you're being asked to do. But Mr. Winston, Ms. Adonisio, and I know Mr. Maddox made some comments apparently too, negotiating from the dice and telling treating our teachers like they're not important really hit home with me. I'm not a teacher. I never have been. But I have two children who've gone through this district, and our teachers are amazing, and they deserve our support.
Yeah. I agree.
And I made a list tonight. I have several friends who are teachers. Our teachers are spending, some of them are spending $4,000 a year on things they need for the classrooms. I have a friend who attended a math conference this year on her own dime, this week on her own dime, on Saturday. I'll say it right. They are buying printers for themselves. They are buying, elementary teachers are buying root beer float supplies for their classrooms so they can do a hands-on matter lesson for science. They are buying rainy day games. These teachers are spending a lot of their own money. And I agree that payroll has to be looked at in this time. I totally support you on that. But please, can we keep the negotiations civil and respectful for our teachers who deserve that? Thank you.
I agree. Do we have any trustee comments? Do we have a motion to approve? And a second? I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries 7-0. 6-0. I beg your pardon. 6-0. For CUSD CSEA settlement agreement.
That ends our open meeting section, and we are recessed now to closed session to continue unless trustees have any other comments. We're recessed. Thank you.